Hey, Lethal Weapon fans, I've got the guy with the big heart, the big brain, and obviously the big hair. Definitely stay tuned after that opening because we've got Jonathan Fernandez. Let's go!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Oh. Hey everybody, welcome back AfterBuzzers! I know you guys just saw the crew here. This is a little bit different because now it's one-on-one time with my buddy here.
We're so far away.
I know, but it's okay. It's just right there. Oh, okay. So as you guys know, we just recapped the episode. So right here, we're just going to get more to know our favorite guy, Scorsese, who is obviously this beautiful man here.
Aw.
Jonathan!
So many awes flying everywhere. Hi, what's up? So great to be here again. This is great.
I know. It's been a hot minute because season one was a while. No, it wasn't like a huge while ago.
It feels like forever ago.
Yeah, especially for you guys because you guys are almost done filming.
Slightly over half.
Okay, yeah, because I know that it's a little bit different because some shows are like, we've been done for months, and now we're actually filming while the show is airing.
Yeah,
so.
No, this one takes forever. Yeah. We only have a couple months off between seasons.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. It's weirder when we're not doing it because it feels like we're just doing it all the time.
Especially because the fact that you guys are so close, too, that it'd be weird to be gone for, months at a time.
I'll tell you what, when we got into our first hiatus and then the first time we saw each other, most of us, was at Upfronts in New York in May. And at that point, it had only been maybe we finished in, February or early March. So it had been 2 months.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then seeing them and it was just and everybody's all fresh faced and not tired and stuff. And so it was interesting. It felt like real. That's when it felt like real family because it was just oh, I missed you guys. I didn't realize I haven't seen you in forever.
Oh, I know. I stalk you guys on Instagram and Twitter all the time, and I'm like, oh, these pictures look like you guys have been friends for years, and it's only been a couple maybe at this point. Not even.
Yeah. It's been maybe a year and a half.
Oh God, I love it.
And Michelle Michener, who plays Bailey on the show, when she came to her first table read, which was at the time episode 102. We stuck around afterwards and talked for a while, and she was like, this is crazy. It seems like this is a third season show, the way everybody's carrying on and stuff. And that was we'd only done the pilot at that point 3 months before that.
Oh my God, I love that. That's I think that's the one thing I love about this show is that the fact that you guys all kind of clicked so quickly that it feels like you guys have been doing seasons. But anyway, I realized that I got right into talking about it and didn't introduce myself. Hi guys, I'm Alexis Torres. If you haven't seen previously the Weapons F shows, I've been doing this since season one, but you guys can find me all over social media at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. And Jonathan, just in case if people don't know where they can find you, where can they find you on social media?
Everything is the same. It's at jthan, J-T-H-A-N, Prime, like Optimus, if you're into that. I realized I should have done Jonathan Prime, because jthan is a little abstract, but...
But I like it, though. It's different.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't know. But we are pretty much just going to be talking about the episode as much as... Not as much as a whole, but if you didn't see the episode, we found out a pretty big thing in this episode that has to do with your character.
Yeah. How have you not seen it yet? What's happening?
I know. So, hold on. So, I just wanted to get into it real quick. How did you feel when you got the script that you were going to get a pretty... It's not a huge episode, but it's huge to us because we get a glimpse into Scorsese's life a little bit.
Yeah, it felt huge to me.
Yeah.
Because usually... I come in for a couple of quick functional scenes, but I've been lucky enough to have scenes where I get to have a lot of fun, and the jargon and the medical stuff is all kind of just, filler. But the real fun is I always have a game in the scene, which is great. And this time around, it's here's more. And so when my wife and I read it together, and I'll never forget it because Miller, told me, I think in July. He was he was hey, there's a big Scorsese story where he's part of all the storylines, you know, 208. And at the time we were in the middle of 203. And so I was oh, I can't wait. And then he was telling me because I had a deleted scene or scene that got deleted from the first episode of the season. So he was like, dude, don't worry. It's for time because there's so much Mexico stuff that had to get figured out.
Those two episodes were insane.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of stuff that we ended up having to cut. Unfortunately/fortunately, because you always have to kill your darlings when you do this kind of work. And but yeah, he told me, and then when and then maybe in the middle of like 206, he mentioned it to me again. He was like 208, and I was like, all right.
Jeez, he was just keeping you on your toes until you got the script for 208.
And even 206, I was like so excited about, because when I read that and had the all the juicy stuff with Bowman and Bailey and me getting in between that.
Oh, I have so many qualms with this, because the fact that, one, I love Bowman and Bailey. I also love, again, we got a little nugget of information that Bailey is dating somebody.
Yeah.
But I also love how that... Okay, so we're going to gush a little bit, or at least I want to gush a little bit. Mm-hmm. I loved the scene of you telling that Bowman was an idiot, because the fact that he rejected Bailey because of her sex or mm-hmm. whatever. And I was just like, oh, see, this is what I wanted. I wanted the fact of seeing that kind of precinct family vibe of he's an idiot, you're an amazing, beautiful person. And yeah, so because we usually don't get to see that very often.
Right.
So it was nice. It was a small scene, but I liked it.
Yeah, you know? It was great. And it was really fun that, shout out to all the writers on the squad, because they're awesome.
Yeah.
And what was really cool about that episode, it was about that scene, mm-hmm. is that you can tell that Scorsese had it wasn't simmering jealousy, but it was jealousy was on low.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, but it was. But someone else might have written that, or a different show might have written that, and just been like, obviously this guy has the hots for her, so mm-hmm. let's make it a jealousy thing. But that's not as fun as just being like, yeah. what the? And just like, this is hot gossip.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why did this happen?
Yeah.
And I'll think about the jealousy part later. Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Yeah.
You know, so it was really cool the way that played out. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, because I love that you kind of put it on the back burner of like Bailey comes first, or the fact that you are my friend, and I think it's really dumb that somebody you were a vulnerable part in this sext, and then this guy was like, oh, and I didn't really care for it. And you're
like, did Scorsese want to be part of the sext?
Of course,
1,000%. But like you said, first things first, it's like, I want to make sure that
you're okay.
Yeah. And that we are in agreement that Bowman's an idiot.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I love how like me and my co-host, even like fans, when we were all tweeting together, were like, yeah, we all know that. Have you seen Michelle? She's amazing. Whether she's in Bailey form or outside, she's just...
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she really is.
But yeah, but that's what I love about your character, is the fact that even though you're not in, I mean, you're kind of in every episode, but you're not like playing a huge part in every episode in that aspect, that you can throw something Scorsese in there and it's like, oh, it's like he's always been there. You know what I mean?
And that's what I feel so incredibly fortunate about, that because it, like I was saying before, it's a character that could very easily just be purely functional.
Yeah.
And it's awesome that they have given me a lot of, leeway, and then also with what they write, a lot of liberties to just have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was saying, it's like the medical stuff is, and the cop stuff is like second to what's Scorsese's deal today. Like what is the game that he's playing in this particular scene? And it's always an opportunity to be like, Murtaugh and Riggs are idiots.
Yeah.
And you need to pay attention to this thing that has nothing to do with the body.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And so that's really cool. And that's why I was excited for 206, because when I read all those, scenes like the Bailey and Bowman scene, but then also the mind melding thing.
Oh, that was my favorite.
Yeah, and I was like, that's so much fun. And like being able to, anytime you get to goof around, like fully, that's like full blown goof, right?
Yeah.
So when you're able to do a scene with Damon like that, where it's just like, this is primarily a comedy scene, mm-hmm. it's just like a dream come true.
Yeah, and the fact that that's what I love about what you bring to this character, because most in most crime shows, we usually have a coroner who's either very stern or he's like too goofy, but he's never in it, or she's never in it enough for us to be like, oh yeah, there's that same coroner. I mean, I think for me, it kind of relates to Castle, where we had that female coroner who's always there all the time, but she has her own shtick and is also integrated with the story a lot.
Yeah.
So that's what I love about you, is the fact that you can still bring your sense of humor into it, and you stand out.
It's
not just like, oh, I'm in the background, you know, I don't know, eating a sandwich and just be like, oh yeah, dead body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is like, what Miller has said from day one, which is like I was saying, that's, I'm so fortunate about that, for that rather, because it could very easily be that, but then at the very least, he's like, I want you to stick out a bunch.
Yeah.
So, like, do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, and lean into all those comedy instincts, especially when you have a guy like Damon in the room. Mm-hmm. It's hard to just, like, turn it off.
Yeah. No, and that's why Scorsese is, like, my top, like, characters. I mean, I love the boys. Like, I love them. But, like, I think... I've always had, like, I still miss Cruz. I wish he was still in the show.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it usually goes, like, Scorsese, Riggs, Bailey, and then everybody else. Oh, wow. Damon's at the very, very bottom. For not because your acting's great. That's why it makes me upset to put you at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
he has to get his ego checked every once in a while.
Hey, I'm okay with it, and I'd rather, like, I want it to be Scorsese every time, especially when he's like, you just gotta talk to her or something like that. I'm like, yes, he gets it because he's a mature human being. Sorry, it's not about that. It's not about him today. But we get to see a pretty huge part of Scorsese in this episode, and we get to learn his actual name, which I actually kind of forgot about because I'm so used to hearing Scorsese. So we're like, oh, your name. If you haven't seen the episode, spoiler alert, but his name is Bernard.
Oh, it's out there.
It's like, oh man, there it goes. It's gone now. But I mean, obviously, if you've already watched the episode, this is not news to you.
Yeah, you wouldn't be watching this otherwise, right?
Yeah, probably. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've actually had some people in our after show chime in. They're like, we're just here for support, but we're also not listening because we haven't seen the episode yet.
What?
Because we air.
East Coast.
As the West Coast is playing.
Right.
So a lot of them are like, we can't.
They should just wait. That makes no sense.
They're just really awesome supporters who want to hang out with us. I get it. Yeah, like, because they want to hang out live, so I understand. Anyway, but yeah, what were your thoughts when you read his name?
I guess I didn't really answer your question before, and when my wife and I, when we read the script the first time, we read it together in our kitchen table. And I had to run. I had to like stop what I was doing to turn the air conditioning on because I was sweating.
What?
Like, it was so much fun. I was just like, "Oh my god, this is so much fun! He gets to do so much fun stuff."
Yeah.
And the name, I thought it was like as perfect as possible.
Right.
Because, spoilers abound.
Sorry.
But it was cool. Like I don't like when people started guessing. I was like, I don't think you're gonna guess it. It's like perfectly.
Way off.
Yeah, it's like perfectly random. And it's like not popular, but also not crazy. Like I was saying to you before, like it's not like Caesar or anything
like that.
No. But it's also antiquated, and I thought they really did a good job too of just being like, oh yeah, it got mentioned.
Yeah, it was in passing, and I wasn't ready for it because I was writing my notes like I usually do, and I was like, wait, go back. Like my husband was watching it with me, and he was like, wait, did they just say his name and you just like didn't hear it? And I was like, nope, I need to go back now. And I had to like rewind and I had to re-listen because it's literally just like, oh yeah, thanks Bernard or something like that. And I was I don't know.
Yeah. And I really like also that they didn't really just like shoot for, hitting an immediate home run with it.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, we're trying to make this show last as long as possible.
Well, yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's cool to keep it in the back pocket of just like, it's going to come up in another way that's really fun instead of just like one big way and then practically unusable for the rest of the season or however many remainder seasons.
But I also love the fact that it was also really settled, just like it was also settled in the pilot of the fact like, oh, I keep forgetting you guys keep calling me Scorsese. Oh, they call me that because I'm a film buff or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay. And we just completely didn't even notice that. And then now that it's actually happening, you're like, oh, okay, I can see why they named you a different nickname. And the fact that Damon Wayans actually even says that in the episode, he's like, Bernard. Oh, yeah, that's why. Okay, all right. And I was like, all right. It's not nice. I like
also,
the name.
Also, we still have the surname in our back pocket.
Yeah.
You know, which I know.
Oh, yeah.
And the writers know.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
I don't think most of the cast knows. Like, Chandler, I think, knows the thing I told her. but I think but so we still have that part of it, and it's really it's just a fun, I don't know, it's fun. It's really fun to see it.
There's
both.
Nothing
yeah.
wrong with that.
It wasn't in the first draft of the script, it was a different name than Bernard.
Yeah.
You know, it was Percy. Which is too cool because it might be Percival, which is awesome.
That would have been really
cool.
Or
Perseus. Literally any, like all the.
I would have been okay with Perseus. I think I would have been totally fine.
Yeah, Clash
with
of
that.
The Titans, right? Like it's too cool for Scorsese, I think.
But I would like that. That's what it's like, as I was telling you earlier, I wanted it to be Xavier because I wanted to call you Professor X.
Which would be incredible.
Which I'm like, yeah, I would have totally done that. And I think I mentioned that to somebody. Oh, I mentioned it in the after show. They're like, oh, okay, you're just letting your nerd flag fly. I'm like, he's okay, fine, whatever. Yeah. I get it.
I did make a joke on online or on Instagram saying that I'll give you a hint. It's not Miranda.
Oh, come on.
That'd be insane.
Yeah. I mean, I can see people getting like if it was like a girlish name that I feel like that would it would start like a whole different type of making fun. So I'm glad that we didn't have that.
Oh, 100%. That's so antiquated. So it's like, Ashley or Leslie or whatever. Mm-hmm. That'd be an antiquated joke, so I'm glad that we didn't do that. And then also, it would have been fun for it to be, what, like Martin or yeah. Roger or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think that that would only be like, it doesn't have any legs really. It would just be like the first initial yeah. thing and then that's it.
Mm-hmm. Or I was hoping that if they were going to get a name for you, that it would be like Mel, like,
right.
Like,
yeah. Like or like Mel Danny, Gibson, something like that.
Or,
yeah, yeah.
Or something like that.
One idea that a fan, I forget if it was tweeted or something, mm-hmm. But they were like, it'd be cool if this is how he's revealed that he's Chris Rock's character from Lethal Weapon 4.
To have that name. Oh, I didn't even think about
that.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that would have been
great. Oh, that would have been really cool.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll save it for another time. Maybe we'll just get another person
who's supposed to be.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah, because I was going to ask you, like, what if you could name Scorsese, not Bernard, what would you name him?
Yeah, I really think that Bernard, like, knocks it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is just, it's like, it's slightly unusual and also off the beaten path, but then also... middle of the road enough for it mm-hmm. to make sense.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, like Percy's too cool, I think. Yeah. And then this, and then everybody's kind of expecting something really mundane, like John or Brian or Luke yeah. or something. And then on the other side of that, like a, you know, yeah, Xavier or Caesar or, you know,
something a little bit something. More extravagant.
Yeah, yeah. I think like everybody's kind of expecting that. So mm-hmm. I think Bernard really is like, what?
Yeah.
Like it's the perfect kind of like reaction, I think.
Yeah. Cause I can feel like people would be like, oh, I can see him as a Bernard and also seeing it as, oh, Bernard, that's weird. Let's name you something else.
Yeah.
You know,
or something else like super famous, like James Bond or something.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like
so,
if Scorsese's name was James Bond, that'd be outrageous.
Oh, I'd be like, why did you change it? But okay, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I enjoyed it. I think my guess when we did our name guess here at AfterBuzz, I think I picked either Jerry or Steve, like something really simple.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember what my other co-hosts did. If you guys remember, you should put it in the comments and see if we. I mean, I don't think they got close to Bernard. I don't think anyone's ever gonna get
that. That's a name that literally nobody ever thinks about.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know any Bernards in real life.
Nope. I know a Bernice, but she's like in her 70s, so that makes more sense. Yeah, no, she's like, yeah, she's like in her, like, she's like 75. She's like one of my grandmother's, like, friends. And I was like, huh, look at that.
I don't know Bernice nor Bernard.
No, nobody at least under the age of 50.
Yeah.
I know that's like a Bernard or a Bernice.
Totally.
I do know a Bernie, but I don't know what his, I don't know if that's an actual, if that's his actual name or if it's a nickname. I don't know. Now I have to look it up now.
Yeah. Or it's Bernie Sanders. There's that guy.
I mean, yeah, we have him.
Yeah.
But also doesn't help because he's also kind of in an older
totally.
Age. So I was like, but I still think that your name fits.
Yeah, agreed.
So I like that. But obviously the big thing in this episode besides finding out your name was that the fact that you are still writing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love that, again, it was sprinkled in through the episodes. Like, we didn't really talk about it. You were mostly made fun of for it. But now I love that in the episode, Riggs even says, wait. You're actually writing? Like, that's what you're actually, like, this is not just us playing jokes. Like,
yeah.
No, I have a full script. I've been writing it. This is what I do on my spare time.
Yeah, and it's cool, too, when here's a major spoiler alert. At the time of this taping, I haven't seen the episode either.
So
I don't remember, because we improvise, a fair amount. And so I wonder if, I guess you tell me, did they keep the thing... Like, when you first find out that I'm writing the script and I show it to Murtaugh and he gets all upset about it, does Avery say something that's like, oh, I knew or I've read it already?
Yeah.
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 And so
that's like the running joke in the episode is that he read it already and everyone's like, "What? When did you have time?" He's like, I did it and it's awesome. You should do it. You should take your time and read it.
Yeah. Because I was pitching to them too. It's like, you know, he should call me out on like why I have it on my person at the precinct.
Yeah.
So I had this joke at the time though. It was like, well, it's Los Angeles, so why wouldn't I?
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But it's just so funny how Los Angeles-y, Scorsese is.
And I like that.
Yeah.
You know, that
makes it more real because that's like literally what we are surrounded by here in Los Angeles at all times.
Yeah.
Like every server and bartender and host and hostess has, like, you see the script in their back pocket.
Yeah.
You know,
it's awesome.
Yeah. And he would be no different. So if like a perp came in that was like a producer, he'd be like all over that.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter.
See, that's an episode I'd like to see is him just being like, oh my God, you're this producer. I have this script that I want you to read.
Yeah,
and it's
you
like,
might
want
to let me into this interrogation room so I could talk to this guy real quick.
Yeah, yeah, like that's what I want. I think that'd be really, really cool. But I still liked the fact that you were doing... Also, I love mob story anything.
Same. That's part of the reason I was so like sweating and hyperventilating when I first read it because I was like, I also love everything mafioso related. Love it.
So good.
Yeah, and so just so seeing the script, seeing the name of the title of the episode.
Forget about it.
Yeah, and then also, like, the prop script that we had, you know, has, like, 30 pages written. Like, some absurd amount written in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Arthur Avenue Crew.
Really?
And, yeah. And I was like reading through it, and it's just like great to see all those tropes, you know, like the forget about it and the Italian restaurants and the, you know, sleeping with the fishes, like all that stuff is just like so much fun. And it was really cool for that to be the base reality of the episode, as well as the actual caper that's going on.
Yeah, because I really love the fact that it wasn't atypical. I mean, we had our tropes and stuff like that, but I love that it wasn't a typical thing where obviously this doctor, it reminded me of kind of like A Whole Nine Yards, but in this aspect, it's obviously, I wasn't expecting that his wife would be
killer. Kristana, who's
awesome.
Yeah,
she's great. I really loved that, and it was a twist that I wasn't anticipating until it was like kind of slowly going forward. I was like, oh, okay, I see it now. That's great. And that whole like, oh, we fell in love and everything's fine now. I just wanted to get out of the mob, and I was just, and it was really cool that it wasn't just like a bunch of people just saying like, oh, you should be ashamed that you're not in the mob. It was kind of like, no, everyone's kind of trying to get out.
Yeah, we're trying to do our own thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was really cool, you know, especially in the beginning. I love the crime scene in the beginning of the episode because by the time Scorsese figures out and he like does the live fingerprint test and figures out that the gauze fingerprints is also from a guy from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's the third thing that popped up that was like really weird. So like for a guy, it was just really tickled me that for a guy like Scorsese who's really writing the script in real life, and then all of a sudden he gets to this crime scene and sees like an overweight Italian looking dude.
Yep.
And then finds out his name is, you know, essentially Tony Taboni, pretty much.
So silly.
And then sees that and just like right away that's like, whoa. What are the chances? I'm in Los Angeles. How this like crazy mafia thing like landing at my feet, and then he is from Jersey, and then the prints are from a guy from New Jersey. So it's like so many alarms are ringing. That's just like this is crazy. So it's cool to have been able to play. This is not just some other dead body. Mm-hmm. This means a lot to me, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was able to go to Nikki and be like, oh, my God, this is happening. You have to tell me more so we can add more and like fix the script and do that. Like it didn't even faze you. And I liked that it was just like, dude, there's a dead body. No. Script comes first.
Totally. You know? And it was cool to see like Scorsese in his, like you've seen him in his professional element.
Yeah.
But you didn't see him in the thing that really gets him going, like that element. So it was cool to see him hanging out with Nikki and being
in this like dingy like Italian restaurant, you know, just chatting
and being and listening to all the mafia stuff, and it's like this is what keeps him going.
Yeah,
you know, whatever script he's working on, like that's the real fuel to his life. So it was really cool to see him get tickled by other things that aren't just, you know, vibrating bone saws.
Okay, so if you could choose as an actor, if you can choose a mafioso movie either that's come out or that you know might be coming out or anything like that, like what would you choose as like that you would want to play?
That I would want to be in?
Mm-hmm.
So past, present, future, is that
right? Whatever. I mean, whatever you think is either that's like up your alley kind of thing.
Yeah. Man, I really, they're all so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think the one I've liked the most is a toss-up between Donnie Brasco.
Of course.
And I mean, Goodfellas is great.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I think, but with Donnie Brasco, what I really liked is, like, Johnny Depp was so good in it as, you know, this, like, tortured guy undercover.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing ever for me was how Al Pacino was playing, like, just such a low status character in that, you know, so you have this like badass guy who was already the godfather and then you see him be like a mid-level capo in this movie and see how he's tortured also because he knows he's just kind of like middling and he's not going to be the boss ever. But then we all know him as like badass Al Pacino, and seeing him balance those things out, I'm like, that'd be a really cool role to play. You know, because in some aspects you seem like you are the boss, but for the most part you're just like, you're literally middle management in the mob.
Yeah. And I think for me, especially as a person who loves those type of stories, I would love to see like I mean, for us, I guess, as people of color, obviously most of the time you won't see us as like a mob. It'll be like a gang.
Yeah,
but
right.
I would like to see like, you know, the fact that we have like the Black Donnellys kind of thing. But in this aspect, like a different part of Harlem that is just like we are half black and half Italian, and we actually have our own mob going on. Like, I would love to see them like, who are these guys? And it's like, no, we just moved here. We are still Italian. You just don't know like our history. And we're just like causing trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think that'd be really cool.
That'd be awesome, especially because like there's something really interesting about the mob's hierarchies and how there are levels, and it's like really structured where you don't have that with a gang.
No.
You know, there's like the alpha dog and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Sorry, alpha male. And so it's, like you're saying, it'd be really cool to see that blend, especially because like I think the Cosa Nostra is like the only thing that has that. because then like English gangs and Yakuza,
yeah,
and like the Russian ones, I don't know what they're called, but it's like they all don't seem as structured and as fun as the Italian ones.
I just feel I feel like it'd be really cool. I know that there would probably be a lot of different things that you have to bring to the script and the world and stuff, but I really think it'd be interesting to see like this neighborhood being rattled by a bunch of actual black Italians. Yeah. Like, I think it'd be great. And they're like, oh wow, they actually have all their stuff together and this and this, and they're causing trouble.
Especially because, you know, in with Italy and Sicilians, you know, who were darker than the mainland Italians.
Thank you.
they used to be ostracized from the community because they weren't seen or deemed real Italians.
Yep.
So if you have the step further and be like, these are a bunch of like black Italians or like Afro Italians, like that would be very different and very cool.
I think it would be really
Much struggle. There'd be so much struggle because they're like, if mainland Italian is you know, first class citizen, and then Sicilians are second class citizens, then like, you know, black Italians would be
just
six or seven
right down there. Yeah,
yeah, totally. So that's really interesting. Yeah, actually,
because I feel like especially nowadays we're starting to kind of play with those groups, like we had Luke Cage, and like we have, you know, stuff like that where neighborhoods are huge and the family aspect and stuff. Why not just add just a full on?
And hey, I didn't realize this until literally yesterday. The Wedding Planner was on TV for the 10 millionth time ever. And I didn't realize, I had to ask my wife to corroborate that J-Lo is playing an Italian person in that show. And she's Miss Puerto Rico, right? Like, everybody in the world knows that she's Puerto Rican.
Yep.
And her name, Mary Fury, which I did not know before literally yesterday. And so, but I was like, if J-Lo can do it and everybody knows that she's Puerto Rican.
Like, I feel like we can pass off. Like, we can at least do something like that. I just think it'd be really cool to just start kind of dipping into that and being able to start our own, like, stories like that. Like, the fact of just having, or even having, like, for us, like, in my head, I want, like, every single genre, but with an all-black cast, just to see what it looks like. Or an all-Asian cast. Why not? Like, you know? So
And not a farce to do, like, for real.
Yeah. Like, I want it to be real. Like, I want, like, a full-on, like, Lord of the Rings version of it. Or I want, like, you know, something that's extremely nerdy in that aspect. Or, I would love a Departed. Like, that would be really cool.
Especially because, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind for me is, like, you know, like, Belly was a crazy movie. Mm-hmm. And then you have Juice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it is still, like, so, like, hyper gang.
Yeah. And that's not what I want. I want it to be like, I'm not saying that it isn't classy, but you know what I mean? Like, there's like, there's a sense of class when it comes to being in a mafia.
The black people that are in the Italian movies or the mafia movies are always like the guy that specifically does this one thing.
Yeah.
You know, or he's cool because he's like, can steal cars pretty easily.
Yeah. Like something really simple, or the fact that it's like, oh, he's the front man who like runs, like he doesn't run the restaurant, but he's the one that takes care of it if everyone's kind of gone, you know, kind of thing, or just like a waiter or something like
that. Yeah. There's a lot of room in there for different stuff for sure.
I just think it would be earth shattering to see that. It'd just be really cool. I don't know. Anyway, we kind of went on a weird tangent there, but I was okay with it. I lost my notes. But I know besides that, do you think, you personally, not Scorsese, just you as the actor, do you think it's better for Murtaugh to stay a safe person, like how it is in your script?
Yeah.
Or do you think he should start, you know, loosening the reins a little bit?
I think that's a really good question. I think that in order for a character to grow, he should always be, he or she rather, should always be dipping toes in other bathtubs, whatever.
I understand what you meant.
Yeah, I just realized that people always say like, oh, they dip a toes in that, but they never really say what that is. I guess
it's
they
some
mean
sort
the thing.
Of body of water.
Yeah, I guess
I
whatever
guess.
They're talking about is the thing they dip their toes in. Yeah. But yeah, I think it would make sense for him as a character to, keep doing stuff like that because that's why we had this episode. That's why we had like the fun moments of this episode.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even realize until I read it for the second time that how much of a role reversal it was in the car stunt, where it's like, oh, Murtaugh is now Riggs and Scorsese somehow is Murtaugh.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, cool. It's like, this is crazy. And Murtaugh's like, I cannot be as safe as you have me in your script.
Yeah.
So it was cool to see him bursting through his own box. Mm-hmm. And I think he should totally do that as much as possible, I think.
Because I feel like the reason I asked is because of the fact that we're kind of seeing little itty bitty glimpses of Murtaugh kind of loosening up as the seasons have been progressing. Like the fact of sometimes he'll just go in guns blazing and not really care about it. Very, very faintly. And then we had him get high. I mean, it was by accident, but like, you know, the fact that it just kind of happened and he just let it happen. It just, we get to see that a little bit here. So I love that we got to see him kind of take you out of your comfort zone and go in this crazy, extremely dangerous car chase, which I think
was not expected, obviously.
No.
I mean, of the character. Like, he wasn't, he thought that they were just going to go, I guess, pick this guy up and then, and Murtaugh would do all the business.
Yeah.
But then the fact that, like, you know, I forget their names in the show, but Todd Grinnell is the actor. But as soon as he sees him, and it's like, oh, wow, all of a sudden we are now in this action sequence.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool for Scorsese to not. That's why that line is so great, where he was like, all right, well, what should we do in this situation? My fake character, Murtaugh, in the, or Bert Haw, would say it would do the following things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was great to see how uncomfortable Scorsese was, because he, like, all of a sudden his common sense flew out the window.
Yep.
And he was just like, I'm trying to be this weird logical way about this, and it makes no sense to reference his script, his fake script, to see how to do
it. But it was close, because the fact that most of the time when things go awry, Murtaugh's the first one to be like, we should wait for backup, which you guys both repeated at the same time, and he was like, no, we're gonna do this right now. And I was just like, okay.
Which
this
like
is...
in that, like, that scene that we did in the morgue when he's like giving me notes on my script. Yeah, and originally I was supposed to have, I had no lines. I was just kind of like, oh, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And, but then we were having so much fun with it and, like, you know, saying things. I've been doing comedy for a decent amount of time, and it's never not going to be funny to say the same thing as somebody else when you don't think that person knows that you're going to say it at the same time.
Yeah.
That's always going to be funny. Like a banana, like people falling, that's always going to be funny.
Exactly.
And so it was really interesting to see that play out. And, I think, like, to say something about what you were saying before about, like, Murtaugh coming out of his shell a bit is, like, I would love to also see, like, Scorsese has one time in the Christmas episode of season one gotten pretty serious when Riggs is like, yo, I need to look into this file.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Miranda, that's weird. And it's like, oh, this is serious. And then when I have to tell him that I didn't find anything in the files, that was pretty serious. And I would love, like, because Scorsese is, like, this low-key goofball.
Yeah.
And it'd be cool to see him outside of his comfort zone where it's like, oh, this is not a time to joke.
Yeah.
You know, and I, like, whether it's, unfortunately, a cop that got killed or something that happens where it's just like, okay, we were all, like, firing on all cylinders to, like, figure this out.
Right.
There is, like, a kind of a moment like that coming up in the Christmas episode of this year. To not say a little more, it's not, like, as serious as it was before.
Of course.
But we, it's cool that the show and the writers, they always take advantage of, you know, it's that special time of year, and it brings up a lot of emotions, both positive and negative, for a lot of people. And it's cool to lean into that, to have, like, that's the one that's a little more dramatic than the others. And special shout out to Katie Varney, one of our writers, who that's her first script.
Really? The Christmas episode?
Yeah. And Joe Smith last year, it was his first script. This is her first, like, TV script.
I will be judging you.
I'm
just kidding.
No, it's awesome. She did such a great job. And she really knocked it out of the park with that one.
No, I've always loved any holiday episode in any show, because they usually try to go some sort of serious route.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I suppose, because it is that special time of year that things most of the time don't usually go well, or sometimes they do. It really depends on the show or the characters, things like that. But that's what I loved about this show, is that the Christmas episode was, it completely turned for me, and I was like, whoa, okay, Fox, okay, I see what you're doing now.
Yeah.
All
even right. The last, I mean, 207 was real serious.
Yeah. No, and that's what we were talking about in this past, just the fact that it's only been 7 episodes is insane to me. I feel like we're, like, in, like, 25, like, down the road, but it's been serious every single time, especially with Riggs, which has always kind of been serious with him, but I feel like we're, like, pretty much picking at Scabs at this point.
Yeah, super dark, super dark.
Whoa. But I love that about the show, that the fact that you guys can go full on banana peel kind of comedy and then just all of a sudden go, oh, my heartstrings, it's gone now.
Yeah, like, on a dime too.
Yeah.
And that's what I was kind of alluding to for this Christmas episode, where Scorsese is wearing something funny. Let's put it that way. And so it's interesting to see the dichotomy in that scene of just like, oh, this is kind of a goofy thing that's happening, but then also the overlying subject is pretty, not morose, but pretty serious. And so it's cool to see how, I mean, we literally flip on a dime.
It's insane, but I love it because it's not, like, so jarring that I'm like, oh, my God. Like, you know, it's enough to be like, oh, I'm at a happy point, or I'm at a high point. Or even if it's like, oh, I'm at a very low point, and they try to, like, sprinkle in some humor just so it's not as terrible.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what makes this show absolutely fantastic, is the fact that you can have both.
Yeah.
And it's not too overwhelming or too underwhelming.
Yeah,
it's
thanks. I mean, Matt Miller is the greatest boss ever. He's so good at his job, yeah. And all the writers are so great. And Tim Trella, our sound coordinator, mm-hmm. is just so amazing also. And it's like, those are all, and they're all just so good at their jobs. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see it come to fruition instead of like, oh, we're kind of always figuring things out. It's like, no, they kind of figure things out fast. Right. So it's really cool to be a part of that.
Okay. So speaking of stunts and stuff.
Yeah.
Were you in the car during that car chase, or was that a stunt double?
The answer to that is almost always a little both.
Okay.
And so they generally, here's a Hollywood not so secret. So it's like we are always asked to do whatever we are most comfortable with doing. Yes. And in that particular case, I was like, Tim Trella, our mm-hmm. genius stunt coordinator, told me after we filmed it that he was like, man, I hope that they could find a take where you are not obviously delighted to be in the car. Like, because I'm supposed to be terrified.
Yeah.
But he was like, I could see like a hint of a smile, like, in some of your takes. And I mean, it was great. It was really cool because, like, you know, they closed off this entire street in the middle of Hollywood for us.
Yeah.
And Tim was driving this like huge truck mm-hmm. that had a flatbed, and then half of the Crown Victoria was on the back of it, mm-hmm. just like the front half, or the back half rather.
Yeah.
And then we literally took off down the street. I don't know how. At least 60 miles an hour, I'm guessing. Jeez. Probably more, which in a normal street is super fast.
Yeah.
And then Tim would slam the brakes and do like the full turn. And we were in the car for all that stuff,
God.
So, and like Tim said, it was like, I was having the time of my life. I was like, and I'm always, we have this running joke, Tim and I, where he knows how badly I want to get into stunts and stuff like that. Cause me and my brother have been jumping off cliffs into water forever.
Oh yeah.
And we've gone skydiving and we like doing all that stuff. All this dangerous stuff. So, I'm always asking Tim all the questions about how the stunt works. And he's shown me, he's always like, I got a clip to show you. And he shows me when the actor who did the stunt for Gideon last year, when he jumps into the ravine.
Yeah.
Like he's shown me the dude doing that. I was like, this Antal is the name of the stunt guy. He is so great.
Yeah.
And so every time Tim sees me, he's like, hey, we're getting your harness ready for a stunt. I was like, shut up.
Oh, don't tease me that. That's just rude.
Yeah. I'm like already getting ready for it.
What? Right now?
I'm like, oh, weird. I'm wearing my own harness right now.
Oh my God. I want that.
Yeah.
That
yeah. No. Great. So it was really cool to be like, you're doing it. And the, besides the safety aspect, because the stunt guys are professionals at this,
of course,
they also, even when one of us do our own stunts, because of the timing of everything, we don't always have, we're trying to shoot as much as possible in such a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever we don't have to be seen, then the stunt people do all those.
Got it.
But then when they have the shots where they have to see our face and all that stuff, and we're comfortable with doing that, then we have that one shot that we all do, and then we're like, cool, we got to go and do another scene now.
Right.
And the stunt guys might go back and still do it 10 more times.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm glad that you got to finally have a stunt and hang out. That was really cool. I'm hoping for more.
I know. Now I need a gun and I need to, fall off a building.
Man, I'm telling you, I really want a Scorsese episode where you have to follow them somewhere for whatever reason, because this case is really special to you and you have to jump off of something with Riggs.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, you ready to jump? I don't know, man. And then, I mean, obviously deep down you're like, oh, I've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You're like, yeah, No, I'm ready.
Yeah.
One of those. No, I think, down the line, there's just so much room to explore with this particular show. Like, you have literally every character could be capable of doing anything on the show. And that will be the fun part, to see, all the respective fishes out of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still waiting for Captain Avery to have his episode where he has to go back into the field.
Yeah.
Because he's been in his office for so long.
I know. And that's the thing, too. It's like, there's, I've been in a scene with Keisha only twice.
I know.
And Jordana once, quickly in passing.
Yeah.
And I haven't met the kid. There's an episode coming up that you do, that we are all there.
Yes.
But with sans Kevin and Jordana.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, so it's like there's still so much room to be all, even if it's just hey, Scorsese, I need you to be leave early and take Dante to somewhere,
I'd be okay with it.
And that would be awesome scene to just be especially seeing Scorsese try to relate to RJ.
Yep. That's what I want. It's just have both the kids in the back seat and you drive and just be like, so what are you guys into? Please be quiet.
Stop trying to be cool.
Yeah. That'd be really cool. Oh, you guys want to read my script? No.
Yeah.
So last two questions, because we're actually about to wrap up. We've been going for an hour.
There's too much fun to be had.
We've been talking about this for another 5 hours. Mm-hmm. So what would you you like to see, even though I know that you guys are already kind of a little bit further into the season, what would you like to see for Scorsese in future seasons, since I want this show to run for like 12, 13 seasons? Like, yeah, as long as Supernatural's been running, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sprinkle that McG magic on it and you'll have 13 seasons.
I want it.
Yeah, I think it's my wish is the same for all the non-Murtaugh Riggs characters.
Yes.
Is just finding out more about, like, it's cool to see our individual episodes because you do get to see us in different situations. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of questions that haven't been answered with, like, you know, what's the deal with, you know, Cahill, for instance. It's like, mm-hmm. where, like, why, just, you know, what do they want?
Yeah.
You know, which is always, like, a question that you ask of, like, as a screenwriter, as mm-hmm. you're writing, you're like, you have to ask yourself that of every single character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what does this person want? Why are they here? Why are we watching them?
Okay.
And the show has been, has done a great job of making these people, like, really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think we're, like, slowly getting to the fever pitch of just, like, all right, we really need to, like, want to know what the deal is with these people.
Yeah.
You know, and why is Trish so good at her job? You know, like, is she...
Because she's Trish.
Yeah, I mean, like, but I mean, sorry, the road leading to that, like,
yeah.
how does she get there
yeah.
versus just being amazing, which she is.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, like, it was cool to get the, like, Scorsese's first stunt out of the way.
Yes.
And the name thing out of the way and keeping mm-hmm. her back pocket to, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
being able to be used at some other point.
Yep.
And, but then also just, like, you know, seeing this person or just, like, learning about, I don't know, just what makes them tick
yeah.
outside of the office, you know, because you get to see that a lot with Murtaugh and Riggs, because the show is about them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think just, like, there's still some blanks that we could figure out with, like, Avery and, you know, and Bailey and now Bowman and all that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. there's just so much stuff to be had. And it's always interesting to see just, like, where, you know, season three will take us in terms of what's the gut-wrenching thing that's going to keep
yeah.
this unit together.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a little bit different with Lethal Weapon because I don't know if maybe it's because most crime shows are usually, like, on the East Coast and stuff that they have, like, a bar that they kind of all go to and hang out after, and you get
yeah.
to kind of see more tidbits of the side characters.
Said, yeah, Miller said that. They asked yeah. him if he wanted a bar.
Yeah.
And he was like, let's keep that in our back pocket.
Yeah, because I think it would be really cool. I watch too much TV, if you can't tell. But, yeah, I think that would be kind of cool to be like, oh, hey, there's Scorsese and Bailey just talking, you know, and hanging out, having a beer. Or Bowman
yeah.
just trying to be cool and trying to throw darts while he's drunk. I don't know. Just, like, I think it would be really – and, like, I can see you, like, lecturing him. Like, you have to go, like, at this point to, like, really get that – like, I just want to see you guys outside of the precinct
yeah.
more. Besides, obviously, our two main dudes or
right.
the families.
And I think, like, by the time – you know, I haven't read past – 213 yet
right.
So there's I don't know what direction things are going, but I know, like, for the rest of the season and then also you know, fingers crossed we get a season three, then it would be, I think, like, if it happens in season three for us to be, or for our characters to be explored more,
mm-hmm.
then there's gonna be so much foundation
yeah.
you know, season one and season two,
mm-hmm.
that it'll be, like, just that much more satisfying mm-hmm. when it actually happens, because, you know, it's like The Office. Like, the reason that show was so great is because at one point, like, you could almost write the jokes yourself,
yeah,
because you know the character so well that you're
mm-hmm.
just like, oh man, I can't wait to see how Dwight's gonna deal with this one, because you already know,
yeah,
like, you know that it's like, as soon as he walks in and it's already been set up, you're like, this is gonna be funny because Dwight's character does this all the time.
Yeah, because I want to start seeing people, you know, go, oh, I'm more of a Scorsese, or I'm more of a Bailey, or I'm
right.
more of a Bowman or something. Because, I mean, obviously we have our friends that might be a little bit more Riggs and a little bit more Murtaugh or something like that, but I want to know so much about our side characters that we can, like, all go as, like, a group,
yeah.
you know, like, cosplay or something and just, like, hang out.
Yeah.
You know,
speaking,
like,
of cosplay, there's always, I seen you at a convention once.
Thank you.
That was really awesome. And because I go to a lot of conventions.
Yeah, you do.
And now it's a thing. People come up to me and they ask me if I'm dressed up like the guy on Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's like, no, I am the guy from Lethal Weapon, but thank you for
yeah,
noticing.
Yeah, and I live for the moment of their embarrassment when they're like, and I'm like, no, that's me, I'm the guy. And they're like, oh my God, that's so dumb. Why didn't I just ask you if you're the guy? Why did I ask you if you're cosplaying as the guy? That makes no sense. It's like, and they all said that afterwards, and it's so funny, so satisfying.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
But as we're about to get to a close,
yeah.
I have to ask the big question that everybody has on their minds: will they or won't they Bowman and Bailey? To your knowledge, because you can't say too much.
Yeah, I think
more of us, like, a Jonathan. Do I want it? Do I not want it? I don't know.
I think, like, the it. I don't know. I think it'll be just a continued thing, especially because there's, especially with what you saw at 206, you see that you don't really know how Bailey feels about Scorsese, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell how much of it is, like, a hard no, or if it's just, like, oh, it's no because, like, we're at work. It's weird, and you're lurking in the morgue all day long.
Yeah.
You know, so it hasn't been, to my knowledge, that, like, a hard no yet.
Yeah.
And then the Bowman thing everybody's really pushing for, but they haven't really explicitly flirted. They've just been friends.
No, it was a one-time thing where it kind of, like, some people are, like, I know we need to wrap, but, like, the shippers, obviously, in this show are huge right now. So, like, the fact that there's even just, like, a tiny
especially
little
Bowman
spark.
Made Bailey smile that one time.
Yeah. You know? And, of course, all of us were like, well, there it is. Done deal. Everybody, they're going to get together by the end of the season. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's still more in there. And you'll see as the episodes come out that there's still, like, Scorsese still thinks he has a chance. And especially with, like...
keep going, Scorsese. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. And there's a lot more instances of just, like, you know, them or... Scorsese and Bailey together.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. It's still just kind of like all over the place.
Man, I just wanted to know if you were like, no, I hardcore ship these guys or nope, staying out of it. I don't want any part.
I think what they're pushing for is the triangle of it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with it because I think it'd be very interesting to see you like try to like step up to Bowman. Like, hey,
yeah.
Just know I've known Bailey a really long time.
We just did a scene in 213 that is that.
Yes.
And it is that kind of thing of just like, it literally is like, Bowman, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
It's literally that. And so, and that was a lot of fun because Andrew.
I love that guy.
Andrew's so nice and so Australian. And and it's really cool to, like, I literally apologized because I'm like, I'm sorry I was such a jerk to you, like, in this scene. But it's great.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm really sad to say this, but this is it. We're done.
We're having too much fun.
I know. But I'm so, thank you so much for coming to hang out with me.
Pleasure.
I'm hoping that you get to come back later on in the season.
Yeah.
Question mark?
Totally.
Yeah, because I definitely want you with the whole crew and everybody. I think it'd be really fun.
It's so hard to get us all in one room.
No, it's tough. We're all busy. This is LA. Everyone's got stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's totally cool.
But yeah, maybe we should try to, I mean, this, Lord knows there's enough space.
Yeah, no, we can fit like 5 people back here. So I would make it work.
I'll work my magics.
Yeah, yay. So again, for anybody who doesn't know, where they've been hiding under a rock or something, where can they find you?
Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter, JThan Prime. I put a lot of behind the scenes stuff, so if you're interested in any of those things, Instagram's the thing I focus most on.
And also, is there anything that you would like to start, you know, talking about, not like NDA stuff, but like the fact like, you know, Comic-Con things? Or...
Yeah, I might be at CES doing something. I'm not sure yet in Vegas, but there's a comic book I'm working on with my sister-in-law that's going to be like the Far Side that I'm the main character of. And that's like slowly rolling out. I've been writing the scripts and there's some films I might be doing soon.
Yeah.
And so, well, there is a short film I'm shooting in a few weeks.
There you go.
That is very, it's like with the Together One Heart organization, and they are... lack of a better way of saying it, like super anti-sex trafficking. That's their thing. And it's the movie has something to do with that, just to show a glimpse of the horrors that happen with that. And so it's like, cool. You'll see me be very serious.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it'd be really cool.
For
a good cause, too, obviously.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's awesome. And I'm really happy for you that you got all this stuff, like, planned out. You got lots of projects coming up.
I'm always trying to be the guy doing a million things.
Hey, I give it to you because I can't anymore. I feel like I'm too old for that.
And also play video games.
Yeah, always. And you guys can find me at atores890. That's atores890. Definitely catch our after shows every Tuesday, 8 p.m. We will be talking about Lethal Weapon until it is forever playing. Again, 13 seasons, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And definitely catch my co-host. We just recapped. I know we didn't talk about it in this episode, but we do a full recap. It's literally right before this. So look it up on AfterBuzz TV Drama. You will find it. Guys, have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will see you for episode 9 of Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.